This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier for all your unwanted smells. From pets, cooking, damp basements, smoke, whatever, you need the Thunderstorm. Buy the three-pack now and use a couple for yourself and then maybe give one as a Christmas gift. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use code word Howie3. Shipping is free.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace, stand up.
Welcome, 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 welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. It is Tuesday. It's a rainy, dreary Tuesday, but Joe Biden's having a party. You can't rain on his parade. No, no, no. With an inflation report like this, can you blame him for popping open the bottles of champagne, lighting up some cigars on the South Lawn, and just celebrating? I'm kidding, of course. He's not actually smoking cigars. The party hasn't even started yet. But Joe Biden will be having a celebration today with a bunch of people who are going to look like they're in a hostage video, who are cheering him on as he tells us or tries to convince us that inflation is heading in the right direction, and that the Dow being down 500 points on this worse than expected inflation report is nothing to worry about. I would like to play here, mostly because people love Stu Barney. You ever notice that? Like, even people I know who don't tend to watch Fox News all day long, a lot of people watch Stu Barney on Fox Business. And I want to play a little bit of how he feels about this. I want to play a little bit of sound and talk about this just a little bit more. The lines are open for this full hour. If at any point you decide you want to talk about inflation, we can always go back to it. But we're also going to talk about what's happening with the DOJ and with Donald J. Trump. Let's play a little bit of Stu Barney, though. He's talking about the Democrats spending cut 16, please, Jared.
The administration is moving in the opposite direction. All this money spending, all this, you do that, and you raise the inflation rate. You don't put it down. Now, later on this today, President Biden's going to hold, I think he's going to try for a victory lap. He's going to say inflation is coming down a little.
Thanks to the Inflation Reduction Act.
Yeah, that's precisely, that's what he's going to celebrate, the Inflation Reduction Act.
Right.
That's just not quite right.
Fendalization.
Not quite right. Stu, I would say it's insane looking at people right now and, you know, expecting them to give you three cheers and saying he's a jolly good fellow because the inflation's at 8.3% is bananas. But that is Joe Biden. And Jill Biden was actually interviewed with NBC News, and she was asked about Biden running in 2024, which is the question on everyone's mind. She talked about how he needs to keep going. Cut 19.
Have you talked about it with him?
Not yet. We've been a little bit too busy. Not yet, but I'm sure it'll be a discussion.
Do you feel ready, you and President Biden, to hit a second presidential campaign? It has to be taxing.
Well, you know, it is taxing, but, you know, look at all Joe has done. He has kept true to what he said he would do. And so I think he just needs to keep going.
The economy is destroyed. The southern border is overrun. We had 13 U.S. service members die after the botched Afghanistan exit. Fentanyl overdoses are increasing. Look at all he's done. You'd think it can't get any worse, but he needs to keep going so he can prove that it can.
My good.
He's ruined 90% of things, but he's more of an 100% kind of guy. Don't you think, Jared? He wants to go for the full boat.
He is a perfectionist that way. You can tell by his speeches.
Also, I know it's a small thing, but when people lie about small things, that means they'll lie about anything. Are we really supposed to believe that she hasn't talked to Joe about 2024? Like, unless he's even further gone than I think he is, there's no question that as his wife, you would at some point bring up 2024. What else are you talking about? Is it just sheer yelling all the time about his mistakes? Does he come off stage and she just goes right into nag mode and starts saying, well, you did this wrong and we told you not to do that. We told you to stand up for this. I'm really supposed to believe that in all their time together, all of those candlelit dinners they have at the White House, that they don't talk about 2024. I don't believe that. 844-500-4242. But we're going to give Joe a little bit of a break right now, and we're going to talk about what's happening in the curious case of Donald J. Trump. So the FBI and the DOJ are
Garland Merrick.
They're overtly political at this point, and there's no doubt about it. And you know who I should have on this week to discuss this would be Ben Weingarten, because he's been talking about this kind of police state and how frightening it is that there is this group, this political group, that thinks that they can tell us what to do and how to think and what to say. And it's reminiscent of the left's favorite book, 1984. They love to talk about 1984 when Trump was president. And they love to call Trump, and I know I hearken back to this a lot, but they love to call Trump an authoritarian, a tin pot dictator. You know, they compared him to Hitler, to Stalin, to anybody they could think of. Was Trump sending the FBI to the doorsteps of Hillary Clinton supporters just for being Hillary Clinton supporters? Was Trump throwing any journalists in jail? I'm not saying Biden's done that yet, but I don't know if it's far behind with the looks of how this is going. Was the Trump, here's one that's even better, because this is something that actually happened. Was Trump urging Twitter to take certain journalists off their platform? No, that's a Joe Biden thing. So now we find out that the FBI turned up at the doorstep of a Trump supporter. Her name is Lisa Gallagher. And she was on with Tucker Carlson. And I want you to take a listen to this. This is Lisa Gallagher. Now, they're at her door because the FBI has nothing else going on. The FBI that botches and bungles everything they touch. Everything they touch turns to, you know the thing. And yet they have enough time on their hands to be going around questioning people who weren't even at the Capitol on January 6th. This is how diabolical and how pre-planned out the Capitol riot was. That now they have to investigate people who weren't even there. Because just because they weren't there that day doesn't mean they weren't involved somehow.
Can we investigate people who were there first? Like, I don't know, pulling a name out of thin air. Ray Epps, how about that?
No. The New York Times already did that investigation. They called up, the FBI called up Ray Epps. They said, are you an informant? He said, no. Case closed. What more do you need? So let's take a listen to Lisa Gallagher. She's talking to Tucker Carlson last night. This is really unbelievable. Cut two.
I was terrified. And I'll be honest with you, when my daughter woke me up telling me there were three armed FBI officers at my door, I thought she was joking. And I immediately tried to throw clothes on. I called my husband. I was crying. My knees were shaking. And even though I knew I'd done nothing wrong, after seeing Joe Biden's speech the night before, I thought, oh, my God, this is political. And I was frightened. I truly thought they can take me out of here in handcuffs. And I thought, I'm in my bedroom. I thought, am I not coming home? So I went outside and I said, gentlemen, you're scaring me. And they proceeded to tell me that they were given an anonymous tip that I was at the Capitol on January 6th.
Are we ever going to investigate the anonymous tips about school shooters, or are we just reserving it for women in the suburbs who support Donald J. Trump? Where is this energy? Where is this passion for investigating anonymous tips when it could save all these people, all these children in schools? They have, or how about this? How about the non-anonymous tip that people were giving the FBI, that gymnasts were giving the FBI about Larry Nassar? That one wasn't even anonymous. That was, hey, I'll fill out a report. This guy's a pervert. This guy's a pedophile. And they wanted nothing to do with those tips. No, they put that on the back burner. Well, we'll get to that tomorrow. We got some Lego sets we gotta find. And now they're showing up at this woman's door because they got an anonymous tip. So is this the new rule? If I don't like my neighbor, I can say, hey, yeah, my neighbor, I have no evidence of this, but I just have this gut feeling that he was at the Capitol on January 6th. Three FBI agents there. What they should have done, I'm surprised they didn't do the Roger Stone treatment to this woman and catch her at like 2 a.m. and have a CNN, camera crew there. Oh, we just happen to be in the neighborhood. Just happen to show up. This is really despicable. Take a listen to what Tucker had to say. Cut one.
Imagine
armed FBI agents showing up at your house because you supported Trump on Facebook and demanding records of your whereabouts on a date nearly 2 years ago. And of course, the FBI already knew that Lisa Gallagher was not there because they have sophisticated facial recognition software. So they were never planning to arrest her. The point, and this is a theme in every authoritarian regime, the point was to use government agents to intimidate enemies of the regime on the basis of an anonymous tip. Quote, I have never been so frightened in my life, Lisa Gallagher said. The rest of us should feel the same way. Snitches? Anonymous snitches? The secret police showing up at your door when you're in bed? This is Soviet, and there's no other word for it.
Yeah, and then on top of that, the Justice Department, I'm reading from Red State here, continues to ramp up its war with former President Donald Trump and his associates, issuing over 40 subpoenas to his associates over the last week and seizing the phones of at least two top advisors. Now, again, I'm sure Joe Biden had no idea. I'm sure no one in the Biden administration had any idea that the DOJ, that the FBI are being so political and trying to threaten and intimidate voters of the opposite party. Of the opposition party. I'm sure that has nothing to do with this, right? Right? Maybe I'm just skeptical. Dan, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Dan.
You know, Grace, thanks for taking the call. The average person is starting to feel intimidated after listening to that speech, and then after listening to the woman that you've just, you know, the tape that you've just put on, it makes people like you and I feel like we're the next victim. And what have we done? We've only disagreed with what his policies are, and it's not like his policies are good and bad. They're just nothing that he's doing is absolutely correct at all, and nothing's working. So why are we being persecuted for disagreeing?
No, you're absolutely right. And let's play the old game that I play. I think I reserve this for once a week, but I might have to start doing it once a day. Let's play the old game of if you were a Hillary Clinton supporter and Donald Trump's, and that's what it was always called, Donald Trump's FBI knocked on your door and they had three FBI agents and they said, oh, we heard that you were, you know, a supporter of Hillary. You posted a Hillary Clinton arm wrestling meme and we think that it swayed the election. You think people would be upset with Donald Trump? You think that that would be an impeachable offense? What would that be? Impeachment 4, 5, 6? And there's no outrage about this. It was on Fox. I'm outraged. You know, some conservatives are. But this is insane if they can start doing this. And Dan's absolutely right. It is very intimidating. It does have a chilling effect. Like, if I woke up, I can joke around all day on air. I can say what I want. It's a very fun job. But if I woke up and there were three FBI agents outside my house asking to go through my stuff or asking me, oh, can we get evidence of your whereabouts on this day? I would be scared, too. I would be like, what the hell is going on in this country? And I think that's what we all have to start asking ourselves right now. Call in. We'll take more calls on this. This definitely deserves a lot more time. The Democrat surveillance state is here. I mean, we've been talking about it for this last 15 minutes. 87,000 new armed non-law enforcement IRS agents. So why does America need that? The liars said no new taxes on individuals making under $400,000. Well, we paid attention to the $400,000 and they slipped this in under our noses. They'll soon control all aspects of your life with armed agents rummaging through every dime you've ever spent, checking out your Venmo, showing up to your house. I have no doubt about that. This is no joke. This is for real. So meanwhile, you've traded thousands of hours of time building your nest egg and now you have to protect it. You need this now. Monetary Gold's new guide, 5 Money Mistakes That Could Crush Your Retirement in the Next 6 Months. Call Monetary Gold now. There's no time to delay. 888-617-7994. So get 5 Money Mistakes That Could Crush Your Retirement in the Next 6 Months. It's 888-617-7994. Time is of the essence. Don't forget that today is primary day in New Hampshire, Rhode Island, and Delaware. Make sure you get out there. Get out the vote. And we'll be right back with more of your calls. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. The Democrats really do live in an alternate universe, you know. Joe Biden's having a party today to celebrate inflation. I'm sorry, to celebrate the Inflation Reduction Act. Although at this point, what difference does it make? Kamala Harris tells us the border is secure, despite the fact that there's, how many illegal crossings were there? 2 million. And it's just this kind of denial. It's like watching the movie The Truman Show, where everyone's just has this glazed over look and they're talking to walls. They're not even, you ask them a question, they don't even respond. Karine Jean-Pierre says that it's dangerous and it's a threat to our democracy to question elections. Then if you say to her, what about the elections you questioned? Well, that's different. That's a ridiculous comparison. There's no arguing with the left right now because they do not live in this universe. Remember Brian Stelter used to talk about that before he left and went to Harvard? He would say, you know, we don't have a shared reality. I actually agree. I don't think we have a shared reality anymore.
Go there.
If you look at these inflation numbers and you think, I'm going to spin this for the Biden camp, for the Biden team, Biden Incorporated, I'm going to get out there and stick with the talking points. You're twisted. You're deranged. You're not able to be honest.
Yeah, John Cardillo actually tweeted that today. He's like, listen, if you want to be a Never Trumper or you want to be somebody like that, that's fine. You can go live your life. But don't demean yourself by pretending that Joe Biden is not destroying everything and that the country is great.
Yeah, and don't try to pull the old Chuck Todd of, oh, I'm down the middle. You know, I'm just calling it as I see it. Nobody buys that. Bob, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Bob.
Hi, Grace. I'm originally from the South Shore. I've been with the Border Patrol in El Paso since 1996. And I listen to you and Howie on podcasts as much as I can because I get homesick for Massachusetts. Not the politicians, the cost of living or the taxes, but, you know, listening to you, Howie Carr, pizza and good subs. Great Mexican food and barbecue down there, but they can't make a good pizza sub to save their life. But I just want to say thanks for always letting people know about what's going on the border, because you're right. I don't know what the vice president was talking about. We're busy here in El Paso, but what was really scary, it's even busier in the places you see on TV, like Del Rio, Eagle Pass, McAllen, Yuma. Here, we're busy, but it's nothing like there. And the other night, we had like 300 people just waiting on the river. These are people that just walk up to surrender to us, mostly from Venezuela. Some from Cubans, families, single adults. So we even get a couple from former Soviet republics, like Kyrgyzstan, I can't even pronounce it, Kyrgyzstan, I think. And then a lot of people from Turkey as well, families and single males. And, you know, they're claiming asylum. And we have to process them due to the law once they set foot on American soil. And the processing center is so backed up, they have to wait out there until we have room to transport them. And, It's just rough out there because there's no sand. We don't really officially take custody of them until we got room in the transport van to take them, because there's a time clock we have to deal with of getting people through. And out there on the levee road on north of the riverbank, there's no sanitary stuff for them. And last night it rained real bad, and I just hated listening to the kids cry, and then people asking us, well, what's happening? Like, can't do anything with you because we got so many other people processing until we can kick them. When I say kick them loose, release them once we process them for the notice to, now what do you call it, the notice to appear, their NTAs, and they get scheduled for a court hearing, which is God knows how many months or years down the road. And it just, you know, it just gets frustrating. I'm just happy I'm close to retirement because with Biden for president, border security is a joke. I mean, if they're right from Mexico, we could kick them back across. Well, I mean, kick them back, we'll send them back across the border. But because these folks aren't from a country that share a border with the United States, we can't just send them right back. And that's why we're forced to do what we have to do with them, as in, like, process them the way we're ordered to process them. And, it just gets really frustrating because while we're dealing with this, there's lots of other people coming in. We don't have agents to respond. Well, I mean, coming in illegally and running because they're not looking for asylum. They're looking to get away from us. and we don't have agents to respond to go after them. And sometimes we get lucky, we catch a few, but most of the time they get north in El Paso. It's a very urban area, and it's right up on the river, right across from Juarez. And sorry if I'm talking too much.
No, Bob, actually, you know what, Bob? Stay on the line if you have time. I'd love to talk to you a little bit more. We'll talk more with Bob when we come back, and you can text in your questions for him at 617-213-1066. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. If you are just tuning in the last segment, we had a caller, Bob, who's a border agent in El Paso, and we are keeping him on the line because he was giving us a lot of information about what's happening. Bob, thanks so much for holding on with us. And I guess my first question for you is that the Biden administration, when they first came into power, they often started talking about how their policies regarding the border are more humane than Donald Trump's.
That's a good one.
Based off what you're seeing, Bob, is that the case?
There's nothing humane about it. They encourage people to come, and when they come, they endanger their lives by traveling all the way up from South America, Central America. The Venezuelans, they travel through this jungle called the Darien Jungle, then up through Central America, and they get abused by the smugglers. They endanger their lives just coming up there. And then you see in the news in Eagle Pass with the river swollen, somebody drowned just trying to get across. And besides that, in Mexico, you know, besides the smugglers taking advantage of them, they get robbed by bandits. And in here, the river's not as deep, but occasionally the river does get deep, and occasionally we have people drowned here too. And it's just lousy to see something. We try to do what we can, but we have safety ropes, safety lines. And the moment we see someone in distress, we try our best, and we call the El Paso Fire Department, and they'll try to come out, and we'll try to do everything we can to save people, but sometimes we can't save them, and unfortunately, it's not until a few days later that their bodies, they pop up from the water, and then we have to notify the fire department to do a body recovery. And then once they do get on this side of the river, because we're so backed up, it's just tough on them. I mean, how can I put it? I feel bad for them, but we can't take everybody in. I mean, that's the downside. We just can't take everybody in. And they're coming up here because Venezuela, the government, Maduro, it's a socialist, I think it's a socialist government. They just ruined everything about that country, and then they're coming up here. And sometimes people, they're so thankful and lucky. Some of them speak English. When they say to me, thank you, you know what I tell them? If you ever become a citizen, you know he can thank you. Never vote Democrat, because the Democrats are going to do the same thing to this country in the next 10 to 15, 20 years if they have their way. That's with their policies. And it's just, I just wish people would take an eyeful and talk to these people, because they're coming up here because their country, their government destroyed their country.
Yeah, and you know, Bob,
I mean, that's why they're coming up here.
I'd also like to mention that it is very sad, but I also feel bad for all of the people like you who are doing your best, and you're getting really no support, and you're vilified by this administration any chance they get.
I know. I mean, it's just like us. They look at us like we're the bad guy. It just gets me. I wish I could express myself better, but I talk faster than I think, and I can't really form my thoughts. And and it's just like I said, we're being overwhelmed. There's a lot of people from Venezuela. Like I said, Cubans are coming too, Nicaraguans. All three of those countries are socialist, communist, Marxist governments, and their countries are destroyed. They're coming here. We also have a lot of Colombians coming up here, especially since that election. I forget exactly who won, but it was some former guerrilla fighter. He won like 51-49%. And any Colombian who has money, it looks like they're split in Colombia, and they're coming here. And then we have a lot of people from Ecuador and Peru, and why they're coming here, because they tell us Venezuelans, they flee Venezuela, they take jobs in Ecuador at lesser pay, and the Ecuadorians don't have jobs that they can support their families for either. And then on top of all that, we still have Central Americans coming up here, a lot of unaccompanied children, what we call UACs, and by law, we got to take them. And more than likely, one of their parents is probably already here in the United States. And once they go through our system, then go to Health and Human Services, because CBP, Customs Border Protection, the border patrol is under, we have custody of them for a while until we process them out. I think that Health and Human Services. I'm usually on the river. So I don't really get a lot of the. I get a lot of the law stuff in the processing center because I'll be honest, I'm lousy at paperwork. We get agents who are real good at processing, and they don't mind working inside the station. But that's not me. I hate processing.
Bob, I have another question for you, yeah. and just for the listeners, he's talking about Gustavo Petro, who was a former guerrilla fighter.
The one who won the election in Colombia, yes.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, since he won this year. Here's a question from 623. He says, question for Bob, what are the biggest differences you have noticed since the Biden administration took control of the border? And he put control in quotes. And then he said, what is the morale at your agency? So it's a two-part question.
Well, excuse my language, but morale sucks. I'm close to retirement, and when it's time for me to go, I'm going. And everybody that's eligible for retirement, unless they have a reason to stay, they need the money because of divorce or putting their kids through college. Everybody that reached retirement age, we're taking off, and we're not hired. I mean, I was hired back in '96. I was part of the second big hiring wave that President Clinton did. The one good thing I can say about President Clinton is I got my job due to him because of. They hired a bunch of border patrol agents in the 90s, but so many of us got hired back then. We're all retirement age now, and we're not hiring as many agents as before. And we're going to have a big shortage of agents in the future, a big shortage.
And Bob, one other thing I would love to ask you about is as far as drug trafficking goes. I know you talked about the smugglers and that sort of thing, but give us a little bit of an idea of what we're looking at as far as numbers go. What's really coming in across the border, or is it blown out of proportion?
Oh no, I mean the drugs are coming in. The area I work is a mostly urban area, and I'll be honest, we don't have much drugs come through our part of the border because it's so urban. But it comes a lot through the ports of entry to our west. In New Mexico, the next station to our west is Santa Teresa. Then there's Deming and Lordsburg in southern New Mexico. They got stuff coming through there like crazy. Then further west is Arizona. It's coming in through crazy there. And down towards the Gulf of Mexico, that's the Rio Grande Valley. It's just coming in like crazy. We're lucky if we get some. But for everything we get, it's just hard to imagine how much stuff is getting by us. I wish I could tell you how much, but for everything we catch, people and drugs, I'm sure there's a lot more getting by us.
Bob, I appreciate you calling in so much, and I just want to give you an opportunity here because I think as far as, you know, I'm on the radio every day, and I can't look at Joe Biden without wanting to pull my hair out. What you're doing is, you're doing so much for this country, and you're putting your life at risk, and it's so much harder than what most of us are doing every single day. What do you feel when you see Joe Biden, and if you could tell him one thing, what would you tell him?
He's the sorriest excuse for a president we've ever had. He's just pathetic. He's just nothing but a lot of talk and no action. Just that. And everybody out there, please vote. No matter if you think whoever it is, a Republican all the way, even if it's the worst Republican, it's far better than the best Democrat. Please, everyone, get out and vote. Because that's the only way we're going to change. That's the only way we can change this.
Bob, I want to say a few things here. One, thank you so much for all you do. Two, you said that you weren't very good at expressing yourself. I would tell you you're dead wrong on that. I thought you were an excellent caller. And three, whenever you get homesick from Massachusetts, please call up the Grace Curley Show. We'd love to have you on again.
Sure thing. If you get a chance, I know I can't probably mention the names of the sub places, but if you ever get a chance, have a steak bomb for me. And there's a certain town close to Milton that has some great barroom pizza.
Oh.
Starts with an L and ends with a D.
Linwood.
Please.
Linwood, baby. Oh, yeah. We don't mind mentioning. Thank you, Bob.
781-963-9894 or 963-9100. I forget the other number, but God, I miss that pizza.
I will have a slice in your honor, Bob. Thank you very much. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, mate.
Go ahead, Jared. What were you going to say?
Also, Bob, if you ever get homesick.
I'm sorry.
If you ever get homesick, you can just take 60% of the money out of your wallet, light it on fire, and say, this is going to the MBTA.
Yeah, that's true. You have a message for Howie? He's listening, Bob, so give Howie your message.
Hey, Howie, next time I go by Waterburg, I'm having a patty melt for you.
Oh, very good. Thank you, Bob. We really appreciate your call. Excellent, excellent call. There's one other thing I want to talk about before we wrap this up in this segment. I want to talk about John Fetterman because something very strange happened yesterday. The media decided to actually do their jobs. And trust me, I was just as shocked as all of you. Pennsylvania Democrat John Fetterman should release medical records in debate before voting starts. This is from the Washington Post. Jeff Bezos' rag.
is now requesting that John Fetterman release his health records. So the campaign's response to questions about Mr. Fetterman's health is to point to a doctor's note released more than 14 weeks ago, which said he should be able to campaign and serve in the U.S. Senate without a problem if he takes his medication and exercises. That is not good enough. Mr. Fetterman is asking voters for a six-year contract without giving them enough information to make sound judgments about whether he's up for such a demanding job. We have called for full disclosure of health records from candidates for federal offices in both parties, including Donald Trump and Joe Biden, and we believe Mr. Fetterman should release his medical records for independent review. They also went on to say that they think he should debate. They encourage him to engage in more than one debate with Dr. Oz, noting that at least one matchup should be before voters start casting their ballots. And that is the argument here in this case, is that people feel like if he does have this debate after early voting starts, it's kind of pointless. It's a moot point. People have already made up their minds. But where we need this same call for action from the Washington Post in regards to Carrie Lake's opponent, Katie Hobbs. She also refuses to debate. Carrie Lake's campaign submitted a letter confirming her attendance for what is now a 30-minute interview featuring just her. Can you imagine if let's go 20 years back, if there were two candidates and one of them just said no. Not no to like five debates, not no to three debates, not no, just no to any debates. And then the other candidate said, all right, then I guess I'll just take the full 30 minutes of air. They used to, what used to happen, if you can believe this, is that if you let a candidate on for 5 minutes to make their point, the other candidate would be calling you up saying, hey, hold on a second. I need my fair time. I need my fair shake at this. You got to get me on too. Now what we have is one candidate saying, hey, bring on all the reporters. I'll do five of these. I'll talk to you all day. And the other candidate won't even come out of the basement. Katie Hobbs is just not showing up. And we should have that same energy that we have towards John Fetterman, towards all of these candidates. They should be required to debate. It's important for people to know who they're voting for, especially when the country is in such dire straits and we really need to know what's going on. On this same topic of voting, the New York Times has a piece. It's Democrats' Black Male Voter Problem. Last month, in a videotaped appearance for a Pod Save America live show, Stacey Abrams, a celebrated Democratic activist and the Democratic nominee for governor of Georgia, seems like they're partaking in a little bit of election denial. Last time I checked, she is the governor of Georgia. New York Times. Check yourself. Said that Black men have the power to determine the election in that state. Now, what I would argue here is that Democrats, and I can't take credit for this because this is my boss, Howie Carr, he pointed it out, Democrats just have a working person problem. Like if the working people in this country, people, and as our caller Peggy pointed out, not people who are, you know, feeding from the trough, not people who are, and when I say feeding from the trough, I mean like, I won't throw out any specific universities or anything, but people who are part of, let's say, the contact tracing unit for COVID at the Mass State, whatever, you know, those kind of jobs, hack jobs, basically. But there are a lot of people in this country who make it go round, who do the right thing, who get up early, who go to bed late, who pay their taxes. And those are the people, I think, I don't think it has anything to do with race anymore. I think it's just people who are sane and who see what's happening in their paycheck have a problem voting for Democrats. And it just goes back to what Bob just said. The worst Republican is better than the best Democrat at this point. The mailroom manager asked me, do you think there's going to be a red wave? And I said, yeah, I do. And I don't know if I'm being optimistic or if I'm being just, if I'm just desperate. Because at this point, it feels like desperation. Like there has to be one. There has to be one, because if there's not, what's next? What is next? We cannot sustain. I feel like, speaking of Seinfeld, I feel like George Costanza. A country that is currently on this path cannot sustain itself. It just can't. There's something's got to give. The pendulum's got to shift back here. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-pack is back, and Jared loves to talk about the 3-pack because he uses 3-pack like this. He uses one in his kitchen, one in his car, and one in your basement. Let's talk about the basement. Eden Pure air purifier. Tell people why you use it in the basement.
I like to use it because I have a, you know, reasonable comic book collection in my basement. And while I do take the time and bag and board and protect my comics, I can't afford to let a musty smell get in and ruin them at all. So that's why the Eden Pure Thunderstorm is great, because you just have to plug it in and you turn it on and it ionizes the air and it gets rid of any smells in a musty basement, any of that damp smell, that mossy smell. If you have like an oil kind of, if you have an oil tank and it's sort of that oil smell, it gets rid of that because it actually ionizes the air and it creates a super oxygen, which eliminates that odor. It also can eliminate allergens and pollutants in the air.
Yes, and the Eden Pure air purifier doesn't take any floor space. It's small enough to hold in your hand, and there are no air filters to replace. To get the three-pack today, go to EdenPureDeals.com. Put in code word GRACE3. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code word GRACE3. Shipping is free. We will be right back with more of your calls, and I also want to play a little bit of sound from Senator Mark Kelly. This is becoming a theme here where you ask a Democrat about Joe Biden, and you would think you were asking them about Hunter Biden, the way they start squirming and trying to run away. So we'll play that sound for you.
Biden's losing it.
We have so much more to get to. I'd love to take your calls. 844-500-4242. The stocks are plunging after this hot inflation report. And you know what Joe Biden has to say about it? Joe Biden, I got to read you this really quick before we go to break here, Jared. Joe Biden
says,
"Where's
everybody?"
He tweeted out, "Exactly 4 weeks ago, I signed the Inflation Reduction Act into law. So today, we're celebrating." Talk about not knowing how to read the room. Read the room 101. We'll be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show.
This hour of The Grace Curley Show is brought to you by Nauset Disposal. Cleaning and greening Cape Cod and Plymouth one stop at a time. Go to NausetDisposal.com.
She's the friend you never knew you needed.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Okay, make that best friend. It's Grace Curley.
Welcome back, everyone. You know, I had mentioned earlier how Jimmy Kimmel was getting some heat from the online universe, from the Twitter angry birds, and it was because he just decided to lay down on the stage while a woman was getting an award last night at the Emmys, and it was part of some dumb joke that nobody thought was funny, and he kind of ruined her moment. He decided to steal her thunder, and so a lot of people are angry with him about that. But I just wanted to point out one other thing I forgot to add in. He also might be a little angry because he was defeated by two Fox News Channel new shows airing after 11 p.m. That's according to Joe Concha from The Hill. So number one late night TV rating was Greg Gutfeld. Number two, Stephen Colbert. Number three, Jimmy Fallon. And then you go number four, number five were just other shows. And then number six is Jimmy Kimmel. So that might explain why he needs a little bit of attention right now. Today's poll question is brought to you by ReadyWise. Global unrest is battering the food supply chain and the energy markets. It's incumbent on you to be prepared, so get ready with ReadyWise. Go to ReadyWise.com and use code Howie10 to get 10% off your next purchase. There's this new bill that's being floated by Democrat lawmakers. It's called the Standing is Tiring Act, and it's so that certain workers will be able to get seats if they so choose, and they can sit down on the job. That brings us to our question. Go ahead, Jared.
Do you support New York's SIT Act?
Well, it specifically says that it wouldn't be for like security guards and stuff. It would be for cashiers, for clerks. And yeah, I do think those people should be able to sit down. I had to do hostessing for a summer in Boston, and my dogs were a barking by the end. I had to get orthopedic flats. And I used to sit there and say, I used to stand there and say, why do I need to be standing up for this? Why can't I sit at the hostess stand? But that was their thing. Oh, no, the hostess has to stand when you greet people. It was brutal. I had falling arches. So, yeah, I am pro chair.
84% say no. 16% say yes.
Oh, come on, guys. Get with it. Let people sit down. When we come back, It's time for Two-Way Tuesdays. Get on the line now. I'll be speaking with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. You can ask him any of your Second Amendment-related questions. The number is 844-500-4242. I want full lines for Toby Leary. When we come back, don't go anywhere.